Welcome to Spirited Straight Talk, the podcast to help you thrive with the help of spirit. I'm Deb Shepherd, psychic medium, spiritual teacher, and author. Each week, I bring new insights to help you heal from loss, connect with spirit, and turn setbacks into triumphs. So let's get started.
We all know it is hard to heal hard stuff. We're talking from grief and to trauma and things that have really happened to you. And grief can go on many different levels, including a loss of a job or a marriage, your health, your home, whatever, relationships, all. So it doesn't have to be an actual loss of a death of a loved one. It can be all these hard things. We're going to lean into this topic today. I'm Deb Shepherd. Welcome to Spirited Straight Talk. I am here, of course, with my beautiful wife, Dana, and we're going to talk about hard things today and how difficult it can be to heal those situations that are just taking us down, right? And there's so many times we think, I cannot live through this. I don't know how I'm going to recover. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I've been doing this work for a long, long, long time.
26 years?
Who's counting? Least. Yeah, at least. And we hear people's stories of what they've been through. I remember one story, when in a situation where this woman had lost all four of her children from suicide or accidental overdoses. And we think about, how do you navigate and begin to heal and really go through this? And so our topic today, which is, I think, pretty much our coaching program, is all about, how do we heal those wounds? How do we go in and excavate those wounds to be able to, or excavate to find the wounds so we can begin to heal? And I think everyone manages their grief differently. Yeah. But I do know one thing, we don't get through it. We say, you know, there's something on the other side. But how do you begin to live with your grief and the hard stuff that you have faced in this lifetime? How is it changing you to be a different person? And what is it going to do to help you navigate your life and the path forward? Mm-hmm. And I think so many people that haven't had some maybe significant losses, and I'm talking about not just the loss of a loved one, but losses in some perspective, have this idea that you need to recover. Like, it's been a year.
Mm-hmm. When are you going to get over it?
Mm-hmm.
And so you hear that. We hear that, believe it or not. When are you going to get over it? It's already been
a year. What, how long is it going to take?
They died a year ago.
I think that when people are watching someone else going through grief, there's a lot of judgment because they don't know what to do. And so the first thing is that, can you just fix it so that you're back to the person that you were in the past? Well,
person that makes me comfortable.
Yes, make me feel better. Mm-hmm. And so people do not know how to support someone through grief. Yeah. And that's a big deal on where people want to just fix them to get it, to make them better. Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to know that you have your own process. And you may have had a loss that's similar to someone else's, but your relationship with that person or that story is still different and unique. Mm-hmm. You have to go through your layers of stuff, and it really depends on so many factors. One of the things that I find is some people don't have a belief system, or they've abandoned their belief system, or they don't know what to kind of bring in to be able to help them get some direction.
Right.
And we see it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking?
Well, so I'm just kind of thinking through, because we talk about this a lot, grief. Loss, we all have it.
Mm-hmm.
We all have losses on some level, whether it's a relationship or, like right. you said, or a person or a situation or a job, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with this on a consistent basis. And there's that expectation that we just push through it mm-hmm. and stay strong. And you know, that we don't affect others with our grief. Mm-hmm. And it's just wrong on so many levels to have that expectation of ourselves and have that expectation of others.
I think one of the things I want to share today is that it's okay to be sad, but it's also okay to have joy when you're grieving. I think there is a misconception for some people that if I'm going through a really hard time, I have to stay in that space. I have to stay in the grieving space. instead of going, well, I can have an enjoyed life and have these great experiences, but my grief is still there. It doesn't mean you're ignoring it or walking away. And I think there's a little bit of guilt for people that try to have a life beyond their grief.
Yeah.
And I think what happens is you begin to incorporate your grief into your daily life in a way that maybe you'll take some time to pause. Maybe you have an altar or you meditate or you pray. You do some things during that day to be able to recognize your grief, but then you can still have a different type of aspects in your life. And I think as you begin to find some new normalcy, it's new, it's going to look different, is to give yourself permission that it's okay that you are still grieving, that you're not ignoring the situation, you're not ignoring or forgetting about the person that passed. You're actually trying to change your energy so that you can connect with the person who's crossed over as well. And I think we get in this place that we have to either be all grief or completely ignore it.
Why do you think there's so much judgment around grief? Because it feels like it's a lot of judgment of ourself, and we project that judgment onto others when they're in grief because we want them to be like they were,
right.
Like we were saying.
Well, we don't want to grieve the loss
of
that.
There's so much judgment.
Well, because when you are witnessing someone going through their grief, you also are grieving the loss of the friend that you is changing.
Yeah.
So you're realizing that you're grieving too. That's a piece of it. And if I look at society, if we look back even the last 100 years, people just had to suck it up. We went through the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression, and people had a lot of losses. And what they did is they just got up every day and did the same thing and started just pushing through it. And I think generationally we're told, suck it up, get through it, don't hold on to it. You know, you got a lot to get done.
We're not allowed to grieve.
We're not allowed to. And I think that's just been pushed along. And I also think there's a place where we have to be cautious that our grief and our hard times isn't our only value. It isn't our only story. And we are creating this balance of, yes, you're grieving. This is a significant impact on your life, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
But can you also not just make it your identity? And that's what some people do. So I think in a culture, when people want to say, okay, are you traveling? Are you doing this? What's kind of going on? Witnessing your friend that's just in grief all the time feels like you also have a loss. And then you also judge yourself. Am I grieving wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot of perceptions on how we're supposed to grieve. Hey, you had a funeral. Move on.
In our story, you had not grieved some things, and for me too, but you had not grieved some things specifically that I remember.
Correct.
Until you had a soft place to land.
Absolutely.
And support.
I had, you know, with the losses I've had, I was still, there was still a lot of balls in the air, you know, still a lot going on, and I didn't have a chance to go in with all the different things that you feel about grief. I mean, there's tons of stages, you know, the negotiation, you know, you want to push it away, your anger, whatever comes up. And those stages can come at different times. Well, I had not done any of that. I was just really suppressing it. I was keeping busy. I was ignoring things. I got a lot of distractions that were happening until finally I was like, oh, there it is. It's like this little whisper. It started coming up, and there was anger that came up and emotional stuff that came up. And it's giving ourselves permission to do the ugly cry.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about, we got to hold it all together.
Yeah.
And no, you don't have to. And then you have to separate those pieces, because there's also a thing with grief. There's also regret with any kind of hard time. We want to go back and we thought, if I would have known, I could have done it, should have done it. I think there's so many things, especially when people stay in a marriage a lot longer than they know. They hang in there because of children or finances or fear, whatever that looks like. But then we start going back and looking at those things, and we get angry with ourselves or the people that were involved in it. And so there's layers when it comes to grief. It's just not missing them. Missing them is just a tiny little drop in the bucket. There's layers of things that people are processing when it comes to grief. And it's, how do you find people that will, we use the word, the term, holding space. How do you hold space for someone? And we don't have a time frame.
Yeah.
We don't have a time frame when grief is in the process. And what I do know in grief, it is with you forever.
Yeah.
It doesn't go away. It does evolve and change, and I think we learn on some level to live with it. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like this companion,
yeah,
you know, following you along your journey, and it will pull you back. It will pull you back in. There's times where you're really, you know, you're like, God, I feel like I'm in a really good space. I hear this. In a really good space. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wow, something just got me. I just read something, or a friend told me, or there's been another loss or something that's similar. You read something and they get pulled right back in. And I want people to remember, when they get pulled back in, it doesn't mean that they haven't done healing. What it means is it's a remembrance of what they are healing, mm-hmm. that it's still there. And just because we're not thinking about it doesn't mean it's gone.
Yeah. And you can't really fix it. And I think that, like our society, we're about results. Like, how do we fix it? How do we fix them? How do we have such an issue with being able to support someone while they're in their suffering. Mm-hmm. We want to fix it. And we can't. We can't always fix it. We have to be with it.
And I think for healing, there may be a choice to it too. The choice is how do we want to experience our grief?
Yeah.
You know, there are lots of ways that people honor their loved ones, or even if it's a divorce or a loss of a job, can they look at this and see the lesson in it? Can they see another way of what it can bring into their life? But we do have permission to be angry and sad and feeling like the victim and feeling, you know, why is it happening to me? I'm a good person. There is nothing wrong with going through that process. What I want to encourage people to do, which we try to do, is not stay in that space for a long period of time. And it isn't that we're trying to change them or fix it. What we're saying is that you can have a balance between your grief and your losses and your suffering and happiness and joy and peace. That those things can be combined, and they can be the yin and the yang, and you can develop a life that is more balanced, because we're all going to have losses.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. When we get into that hard place where you feel there's no way out, like it is crippling, and it is, there's no way.
Can't get out of bed.
Can't get out of bed. There's such depression. And it could be a diagnosis. It could be anything that comes into your life where it shuts you down to the core. Mm-hmm. That is a place of, I look at, this is how we rebuild. It's an opportunity for a reboot. It's an opportunity to go another lifetime in a lifetime. I believe that we have multiple lifetimes in a lifetime. I've recreated my life multiple times. Yeah. And usually it's because something was taken away or removed. Whether it was a relationship, it was a career, it was family, a death. I was like, okay, this means I have to take a different turn in my life.
Yeah.
And if we can think about it as a way to take another direction in life, it can give us a lot of benefits. I've seen so many people with some major losses. Our friend Julie, who's created the foundation in honor of her daughter for people who have seizures. Mm-hmm. And her daughter,
Chelsea Hutchison Foundation.
She died from a SUDEP, which is sudden unexpected death from epilepsy. It gave her the insight to go, I want to help other families, because she knows that if she would have been more educated or the doctors would have shared more, maybe there would have been a different outcome.
Yeah.
So it can be a place in your life. And that's how I found out I was a medium. I was going through a really hard time and said, okay, I got to investigate. Why is this happening and what can I do differently? And through that process, I learned I was a medium. And so I would have maybe never discovered that in this lifetime.
Yeah.
So can we give ourselves the opportunity to go another direction because of this loss or because of this experience?
So specific to people, because you are very well known as a medium, so specific to people who have the loss of a loved one, you know, I know we talk about losing your people, losing somebody in your life, especially children. You have a philosophy around not everything happens for a reason.
That is correct.
But talk to me a little bit about
I think that
loss of a loved one specifically.
One of the things for people to believe in, and I think there's a lot of philosophies out there, And mine, through my experiences, I don't believe everything happens for a reason. I think that
not everything, but some things.
Yeah, right? I think there are some times that we come down here, and we do have. I believe that we have contracts, and we're here to fulfill or learn certain things. But I also don't think that a child being murdered by a parent or something like that is that was that supposed to happen. You can look at it.
That's not divine.
That's not divine. I think of it as different things. Does our society need to make changes regarding protecting children and things like that? So those things can arise. But when we look at the loss of a loved one, it really what I find most of it is what people believe. And I think when people, it must have happened for a reason, I think it's sort of a scapegoat. It's like, well, then it's supposed to happen, so I got to deal with it.
It makes them feel better.
It makes them feel better. So I think some people feel that those that word or that sentence is comforting. I'm just cautious with it. I'm just really cautious with it. But I do think that when there are significant losses for us, that we do really expand if we choose. So we can either take our suffering, our grief, and become fairly isolated and really live in that isolation, or we can decide to expand and really grow and say, why am I having this experience? And I think when people really shut down, I think it's because it's not just that loss, but there was a lot of losses prior to that that they never did some healing work with. Mm. So they could have been abandoned. They could have been teased. They could have had sexual abuse. They could have had all kinds of things that's happened to them. And they plowed through it, and they just kept going. And then they get to the point where they have this loss. It can even be a grandparent that was sick, and all of a sudden they're devastated, and they feel frozen, and they can't, you know, they can't regulate themselves. And I think it's because it's not just that loss. It is all the losses before that.
Grief from that.
Like from the other grief. And so when they put all that grief on grandma, it's because they didn't do other things.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so it's such a big thing. They're just overwhelmed with that loss.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have every right to be overwhelmed. But I find that when we really dig into it, there are other things.
Lots of other things to heal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you brought up earlier, my healing, I mean, I look back in my life, I still have stuff that comes up, and I'm like, you're kidding me. That again?
Yeah.
That showing up again?
Yeah. I mean, even for an example for me, you know, I have grief around the fact that I don't have parents that were parents to me. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's little pieces of grief that I will feel along the way where I see somebody with their parent or, you know, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I wish I had that.
I've never had that, nor will I ever. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's interesting. Grief is interesting, and it's sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sneaky thing.
And I think that's when people are really surprised, is because we were just talking to one of our students the other day, and she just said, I thought at 2 years I'd be in a different place. And I'm like, oh, yeah, second year is even harder, sometimes harder, sometimes for some people. And there were little things that started bubbling up for her that brought it back up again. And that's it. Grief comes up unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. It's not something you can control. I mean, I'm sure if you take certain medications or do certain things, you can't ignore it, become distracted, you know, addictions, whatever.
You can shut it out.
Shut it out.
Numb it.
But it's there.
Numb it, yeah.
We say it's just right there. It's, you know, it's right next to you. It's a buddy system almost, you know. And so when we get surprised, I think the biggest thing to give advice for people, when that stuff comes up, really nurture yourself. Be kind to you. Don't be mean to yourself. Find, if you have people that can be compassionate or hold space for you, you know, make a call to them and say, I just need you to listen to me while I process this. I don't need you to give me advice. And I think that's the other big thing. If you're helping someone through their grief, don't give advice. I'm serious.
100%.
People go, well, let me tell you what you need to do. No, just listen and just...
Or... The hijack comparison.
Comparison. Oh, so what we want to say is like, how can I support you? And that person that's grieving may not even know. Mm-hmm. They may say that this is what I need. I need you just to listen today because.
Can you just hold my hand for a minute?
Can you just hold my hand? Can you just let me process? So if you want to support your friend that's going through the really hard time, just listen. Just listen. And that is really hard for most people to do, is just tell me your story. Yeah. Tell me what you're going through.
And let me sit. And I think that's that it's hard. It goes back to being able to sit with people that are in suffering. Mm-hmm. And when somebody's in grief, they're suffering and we want to fix it. Mm-hmm. And we can't.
I think to remember, too, is they're not broken. They're grieving. Yeah. So don't try to put them back together.
And you're not broken if you're grieving.
No.
You're not broken.
You're having a human experience. And that human
experience. It means you loved a lot.
You loved a lot. Yeah. You loved a lot. And I think there's grief with, what I'm getting this as a hit right now, is people that lose their animals.
Yeah.
Some people feel that their fur babies are family, and they are more unconditional than anyone in their life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to recommend this, is do not be dismissive of what someone's grief is. Or they left a marriage that was a horrific marriage, and you're like, aren't you glad you're out of that? They judge, isn't it good you're out? You had a job that you worked 80 hours a day, and they didn't appreciate you. We want people to say, it's okay that you're not there anymore, but that person has to decide that they're okay that they're not there anymore. Mm. That's up to them.
So if what can someone do if they're in deep grief and feel broken?
There's a lot of books. There's a lot of people out there with therapy that can be really beneficial. But I really think is trying to combine the balance of honoring your grief. And it's okay not to ignore it and to honor it, but then create a balance of it's not your identity, but can you bring in other aspects of your life that bring you joy? Even doing things that are in memory of whatever you're grieving, to bring those experiences back. It could be helping others through their grief. It could be doing something. I mean, I know people do benches and they do scholarships. And they do all these different things. And it doesn't take away the grief, but it gives you a purpose for your grief. And I think that's what people are looking for, too. What do I do with all this?
Yeah. What if they're grieving from losing a job, or how do they hold space for themselves with that?
I think it's what we always talk about is it's reflection. Why did this happen? And as we say, is it happening to you or for you? And so is this job situation or this marriage that's ending, I feel like my life with all the endings I've had was a new book. Not a new chapter in my life, but a new book. And I get to write the way I wanted to write it. I can look at that history and go, that's what happened. But how do I want to rewrite my story? It gave me freedom. I am no longer feeling obligated to those responsibilities or the story or the burden. How do I want to do it differently? And so for me, I feel like I've recreated myself multiple times.
And since I've known you.
Yes, that's right. Why do we want to carry on that same energy for another 6 months, year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? If things are being removed, you have an opportunity to write a whole new book. Why not take it on and reinvent yourself? Mm-hmm. And you can still grieve, but this is a chance where the universe took this away. Why? Why was it removed? And is there another path ahead of you? Mm-hmm. Can you look for it, or are you always looking back? Does that sound? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not easy. I know everyone has a different path towards healing, but I think there's a difference between understanding healing doesn't make it go away. Healing is about being able to manage it and understand it and getting the wisdom from our past.
From our wounds.
From our wounds. Mm-hmm. So take those wounds and make them into wisdom. What is the wisdom? What is the silver lining? What is the, you know, what is the what do they call it? The the pearl in the oyster, right? What, dig in there and find the wisdom to move you to a better place versus saying the story and constantly looking backwards. You're going to stumble and do the same thing because you're going to recreate that space again. Yeah, you write it. Sound good? All right. Well, thank you for joining us once again. I would encourage all of you to go to my website and go to courses. So Deb Shepherd, and then hit courses and find my solution program, and we will let you know when the next one launches. Good to see you here again. Thank you for joining us on Spirited Straight Talk.